right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 473. I am Lisa Shipps. I am joined by Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
Hello. You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. We stream this live every single day and every single week at KOOP.org. Remember, if it's theater, it's on Off Stage and On the Air. Don't go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
That's a brand new beat in heaven.
It is Wednesday, July 11th, 2018. On the show today, we have Zilker Theater Productions and their production of All Shook Up. And then Taji Senior is going to be here talking about A, what the black girl found while searching for God. And of course, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, Texas, Chicago, Illinois, New York, New York, London, England, and Belarus. Don't go away. I bet you have been to Belarus.
I have not, actually.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, I know I've been to some random countries, but that is not one I have been to.
So I guess we're not going to talk about Belarus then.
Sadly, I cannot.
Okay, well, because there was the whole Belarusian opera is doing Der Fledermaus.
Yes.
And it's not the normal deflator mouse. It's about a mouse that deflates. It's deflator mouse.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's a whole different thing. So, Nicole Shiro, we have not been together in the studio for a while.
Has it really been?
I think it's been about a month.
I don't think it's been that long.
I think it has. I've done two shows in a row by myself, and then I was out of town for two shows. So, well, but regardless, I'm very happy to have you here.
Back together.
Checking in with you.
I'm good. I'm headed to my cousin Vinny's wedding this weekend.
Your cousin Vinny.
Yep.
My cousin Vinny. So
he's for real. It's in Boston. Doesn't that even make it better? And Gloucester, Massachusetts.
Gloucester.
I'm going to go to the Wahlburgers and get a burger because I got to go get a burger at Wahlburgers. But I have a lot of lobster roll and clam fritters on my agenda besides my cousin Vinny's wedding.
Well, I got some great pizza and Italian food in Boston.
But wait, guess what? I have scheduled in, Lisa. You're going to be so surprised for this. National parks to get some new national park passport stamps.
Oh my God. You and I are neck and neck with our passports.
I don't even know. But
so
like,
would you say you have 100?
I don't even know if I have many.
I'm close. I've got one.
So, listen, Lisa finally went and got one and got a stamp and sent me a picture from the LBJ Ranch. And I was like, finally did it.
I did. Awesome. So let me introduce. And what I'm going to ask you guys to do is to bring you these microphones right up to your mouths where they are. Okay. We will not hear you. So we have, hopefully I'm going in the correct order. Josie Pickett.
Hi.
No, I went in the wrong order. Heather Capello.
There is no wrong Capello. Order.
Capello, yeah.
Capello,
they can't see.
And we have Taji Senior.
Hello.
And Michelle Alexander, the incomparable. And then I'm going to say fearful people that brought them who are refusing to be here in the studio, but I'm going to call them out anyway. Jim Hanton and Ellen Greedham, because when they all came in, she greeted them.
She did.
Yes, there it is.
Anyway. The best is once we told them that they had to be on here, they hid.
They hid. So we did. We're going to name check them.
Oh, they're going to hear it in a minute.
We're going to name check
and
them.
And we'll see laughing through the glass. Mm-hmm.
So listen, while we're talking about Boston, I want to just jump right to Moulin Rouge.
The Moulin Rouge. I know my brother refused to go with me, so I'm not going.
So
you know I hate the movie.
Yes, I know.
I do.
Sorry. Before you go on, let's take a poll. Who likes the movie?
It's been so long.
It's cheesy, but it's so much fun. Yeah.
I love it.
I'm a sucker.
Okay, I'm a sucker. Fun.
Michelle, you like it? Taji?
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen
what?
It?
What?
It's okay.
Well,
I like John Leguizamo.
Okay. No, yeah. It's not that. It's Nicole Kidman singing. That's a problem. That's a problem.
No, it's not. I'm sorry.
And especially when she's like the lead lady. That's a problem.
No, you're all wrong. Sorry, my show. You're wrong. No, Nicole Kidman, not a great singer, but the show is just wonderful, and I love Baz Luhrmann. I love the colorful detail of that work.
I know, but
work.
When like the main person is painful, it's hard. I
did not find her painful. But anyway, regardless of what
this cast looks great.
Well, regardless of what we thought about the movie, the play is on its way to Broadway.
That's
and
so exciting.
Doing it the old-fashioned way. They're doing pre-Broadway runs currently in Boston at the Whatchamahoojit Theater.
It's
the one that almost got
Colonial.
The Colonial that almost got closed down because it was going to be turned into a cafeteria.
Whoa.
And
it's on the Emerson College campus, right?
I'm just going to say yes.
No, Emerson is Atlanta. It's on a
campus. It's on a college
campus.
I'll be able to tell you because I finally found
Emory.
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 And Ivory.
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, it is starring one Karen Olivo and Aaron Trevette. God dog it. He's got it hard. And I was trying to remember the name of the film actor, Ewan McGregor, who I love and adore.
Oh, I love Ewan.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, I know. But then there's
Nicole
Kidman.
I love Nicole Kidman as well. Also in the cast is Danny Burstein.
I know.
Playing Harold Zilder, who is I'm assuming, I don't remember the character names, but I'm assuming he was the guy with the mustache.
Yeah.
What a wonderful, I love the movie. But I also loved, and you didn't, the Romeo and Juliet that Baz Luhrmann did.
Well, I have a problem. I didn't hate it. I had a problem that Romeo was dosing on acid he met Juliet. So does that really make it true love? And I don't feel bad that you're dead anymore. Changes the whole beautiful story.
Acid, the wonderful thing about...
I don't have
about
a problem with that. It was them
the wonderful
that story.
The wonderful thing about Nicole is she has no opinion.
None.
So anyway, it is currently in previews. It opened a little late because they had some problems with
the renovations
at the theater.
Did you see the pictures of what it looks like in there right now with the giant
it looks gorgeous.
Windmill and the elephant and the I sent it to my brother and I was like, you stink. We could have been there Saturday night.
It looks like Moulin Rouge.
I know.
Exciting. I'm wondering if there was any kind of goings on that caused the delay. Was it some sort of
do it again, please?
Well, I don't know if I can.
It's anyway. Our one sound effect, and it's really great.
So it's going on right now. I'm sort of excited. I've been excited about it since I first heard of it.
Well, it just opened last night. They pushed it back another 2. It was 1 week, and then another week,
and then another week.
It really did go up last night.
All right, so here's something I'm going to bring up for discussion. So there's an article in the Times this week, it may not have been the Times, about Diane Rigg and talking about Lauren Ambrose, who is currently doing...
My Fair Lady.
I was about to say All My Children for some reason.
Do you know what?
My Fair Lady.
Isn't My Fair Lady just like All My Children?
So the star of My Fair Lady, who got great reviews, Lauren Ambrose, has decided to take the route of other people of late, like Bette Midler and others, that are only going to do 6 shows a week or 7 shows a week and not 8, taking Sunday off. And Diana Rigg had...
Do you know why?
Because it's a hard role.
No, she's in the park with George.
Ha, ha, ha.
Ew.
Oh, my God. Only somebody that's working on the show right now would say
that.
Oh, is it over?
Yeah, it's just, it's that repetitive.
So anyway, one of the things, this is something that I've talked about on the show before, but it bothers me. Actors coming up these days, and I'll point to everybody sitting in front of me because you're all of a different era than I am. But, back in the day, we did 8 shows a week. And we did that, mind you, without microphones.
Correct.
And that was as early as I know the show that I did on Broadway did not have microphones, and that was the 1980s. Mm. So, and we did 8 shows a week, no matter how strenuous it was. And as a matter of fact, Julie Andrews did talk about when she did My Fair Lady that sometimes it was really difficult, and she didn't know whether she was going to be able to get through a performance. But that's something that we do, and the show must go on. So Diana Rigg, obviously, is, and by the way,
Isn't she a dame, by the way? She is a dame, Diana Rigg.
Tangent, I'm rewatching Game of Thrones right now, and she's in it.
She's kind of everything.
She's great.
I know.
Anyway, so she was asked for, and Indeed, was this Indeed the New York Times? No, this is the New York Post, of course. She said, now call me old-fashioned, which I should do it in an accent.
You
now,
must, but I don't
which
think
I, unashamed,
I don't think she's step in time.
No, she's not. Which I unashamedly, I can't say that word,
unashamedly.
But I don't think this development is fair to audiences. They've booked their seats in advance, mm-hmm. paying an exorbitant price for them to see what they've been led to believe is the original cast. The very least we can do as actors is to acknowledge their presence as a privilege and take care to never abuse it. It is time managements put their audiences first and insist on the old adage, slightly adapted by me, the show must go on space with all principles. And I kind of agree with that.
I totally agree with her. Sorry.
You're asking us?
Totally.
Is anybody okay with it?
Especially,
I definitely agree
when
with
someone has like
that.
40,
I don't know.
50 years of work on top of it, on top of her and her age, and she's like, lady, do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody okay with
and
it?
She's
no,
a dame.
Hold on. Name. What's your name?
Here she comes.
That's Heather.
Heather.
Oh, man, I don't know. No comment.
Are you okay with it? No, certainly there is another side. A lot of people are doing it, and there are lots of issues around these very, very demanding roles, especially when you're talking.
That is a very demanding one.
It is a demanding role. So you think it's okay to take a day off?
I mean, I think it's great that we
into the microphone,
to, like,
please.
Yes, ma'am. I think it's great that we can like advocate for ourselves and things like that these days. You know, I understand. Yeah, and that's crazy. No microphones back in the day in a Broadway house.
Yeah,
like, I can't even imagine.
Well,
that.
Opera still doesn't have microphones.
I was like, opera
oh,
still
but
does
opera
it
houses. Oh, they're so beautiful.
Well, no, they're playing in the same houses. You go to hear Austin Opera at the Long Center. Mm-hmm. It's the same theater that other shows are doing fully mic'd.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry. I'm going to blame the performers. Sorry, I am. It's not today's performers' fault. We've created an atmosphere that makes it easy.
Oh yeah, it's a world of privilege. I feel like the fact that she can say she doesn't want to do that is. I don't know if I could get away with that.
Well,
being who I am, but like,
and you couldn't unless you had that kind of caliber.
Exactly.
And she's probably the lowest caliber person I've heard of doing this.
Like, she isn't in the mini show. She's very talented.
She's very talented.
But theater's not like. Yeah. It's not like it's Audra McDonald or Kelly O'Hara.
Exactly.
Like, it's like
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking about the people who are on stage the day that they're off. I mean, they've got to be exceptional. So
right.
I mean,
that's true.
Yes, and oftentimes understudies. I mean, Donna Murphy understudying for Bette Midler. She got tremendous accolades for what she was doing.
True.
And some people would have rather seen her than Bette Midler.
I didn't. Even
and certainly,
like
I would have rather
Me
seen
too.
Bernadette Peters.
Oh, Bernadette. Yeah.
Over
Bette
Midler.
Yes. But I would have seen Bernadette and Donna.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Rock on. Well, good. I'm glad we all kind of agree. But there's a lot of room. I do. Mm-hmm. I do want to encourage those listening to this, those budding actors and actresses out there. Oh, I'm trying not to gender that. Those budding actors out there that are going out there. It's very frustrating as a director when we're going to auditions or we're having shows and actors speak like this.
Ooh, Lord.
And they don't project anymore because we're accustomed to having microphones do that for us, or we're working in television and film.
Yes.
So I would ask you to understand the difference between working for camera and working for theater.
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. On to SpongeBob the Musical.
Oh, it's closing. I'm so sad.
It's closing.
But
I'm
it's
not
touring.
Sad. It is. It's touring.
It's touring, really?
Yes.
It's
okay.
going to tour.
It's going to.
Okay.
It hasn't started yet, but yes.
Cool. It's
the tour will happen.
So it's. But what I find interesting is they're going to open up the rights to schools really quickly, much quicker than normal, while the tour is going on.
Because it's SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Who lives in a pineapple under
all right.
the sea?
SpongeBob
SquarePants.
So here's a quiz. Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark.
Ooh,
it cost $60 million to produce.
Ooh.
How much did it cost SpongeBob SquarePants to produce?
SpongeBob.
So I can't. Easy for me to say. Any idea?
It was way more than
I'm gonna
that.
I'm going to go with 87.
Was it more? Ooh. Oh, wow.
That's a lot.
Yeah, no.
I bet it was a lot.
I was going to say, I think it's more than that, actually.
I'm going to say $200 million.
Ooh.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
I
want to live with Taji.
Right?
That's
it cost
good
me $200 million.
I'm going to change it. 95.
It was actually 18.
Really?
Yeah, nobody's beat Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark yet.
You're lying.
Yeah, but still
more.
18, I'm surprised.
$18 million
that.
Is a
what?
Lot of money.
Yeah,
that is
a show. And especially
too.
When you look at their grosses have gone as low as $550,000 a week, which isn't much when you consider Hamilton is doing $3 million a week, and others that are doing well are at least doing $1.5 million a week, which is hard to live on when you're trying to feed a family of four.
It is.
All right. Let's see what else we wanted to talk about. We got 10 more minutes. I do want to talk about this. I forgot to talk about it going in. The song that we heard going into the show, which was called, I decided to try to find some obscure musicals that I haven't heard of or seen, although this I had heard of, but it ran for three performances, and it was Bring Back Birdie. With Donald O'Connor, Cheetah Rivera, and
one Cheetah was in
and Maurice Hines. And so that was a song from that with Maurice Hines singing, and the song was called There's a Brand New Beat in Heaven, but Bring Back Birdie. And the publisher of this is a publisher named Bruce Yeko of the cast album, who did basically specializing in shows that didn't do well and got a cast album anyway. I know the show that I did was a Bruce Yeko production when we finally did the cast album. And we also ran for three performances.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And I'm just going to talk about this now. When we leave after this section before our break, we're going to be doing a song from a show called Carmarella. Let me see. Yeah. Carmelina.
Carmelina.
So tell me if this sounds familiar to any of you. It's about an Italian woman who had relations with three different men, and she has a child, and she's got to figure out who the father is of that child.
Oh, my goodness.
Does that ring any bells?
Never heard of it.
So I am talking, of course, about Mamma Mia, which is, I didn't realize that story was based on something else, but it was
Carmelina?
Indeed... Mamma Mia, Carmelina. It was actually based on the 1968 film Buonasera, Mrs. Campbell, which inspired the book for Mamma Mia. It was a show that ran in 1979 at the St. James Theater, and it ran for how many performances? Not many, but it was Alan J. Lerner wrote the lyrics. Hmm. The book was Joseph Stein, and the music was Burton Lane, who is, everybody knows, is Mr. and Mrs. Lane's little boy. I'm trying to remember who was in it. Oh, nobody I know, except I wanted to say this. Cesare Siepi. Cesare Siepi.
Yeah. Another good name.
But directed by Jose Ferrer.
Oh, yeah.
That's a name. Okay. So anyway, we're going to hear a little bit of that when we leave for the break, which we'll get to in a second. What else did I want to talk about? Oh, this is a good one for this group, I think. And I've been meaning to talk about this for a while, but I haven't been here. So is everybody familiar with the hubbub that happened at the Muni during a production of Jerome Robbins' Broadway, where they had a white person singing, I forgot the role, from Miss Saigon, basically doing it in yellowface.
You lied.
What? And no, she's not lying.
There was
for real.
Well, so... Yeah, it was wrong. There's no question it was wrong. In deference to the producers, Jerome Robbins' Broadway is a melange of... I'm not going to make excuses for them. I can't.
I didn't know where you were going with
that. Where I went when I first saw it, and I remember when it came out, it was a bunch of white people that were doing it. But I don't know what the entire makeup of the show is, but I'm not sure, but it couldn't have hurt them to hire one Asian actor. So I can't defend them. So anyway, the Muni it was a huge, it's an amphitheater, 15,000 seats or so. And
they just got finished closing The Wiz.
True.
Oh,
yes. What is the message? What I'm just...
So. Well, and it was part
who
of the
was in The Wiz, child.
Yeah. Who was
Dorothy in that?
white.
You know, that's why she's trying to do My Fair Lady.
I'm looking for the. Oh, I had another. Oh, and then so I bring this up because an article came out today about a production called Slav, S-L-A-V, that was part of, and I'm going to try to find my paper, as part of another theater festival, where the music was slave spirituals, and it was all white cast. This was in Montreal, and they canceled it. I was wondering, when I first heard it, I was thinking, all right, Maybe that's the point of the show, was to have white people. And it's
yeah.
The message, the overall message is not one of intolerance, but one of openness. But they never say that in here. But the director and the writer were still saying it should have still run. It was evident. They didn't say why. It caused a lot of people to talk and think.
Yeah. Are the director and writer both white?
Sorry,
are the director and writer both white?
They don't say. Guess is yes.
This is just a terrible choice.
Yeah.
It's a terrible. I think the issue is that I think that there are so many things that for culturally speaking, mm-hmm. just from the outside looking in, that seem beautiful, that seem whatever. But if you are not a part of that particular culture, you don't, it would make no sense for me to get up on stage and do a haka dance just because I think that it looks cool,
or
because I'm trying to make a point, mm-hmm. or to bolster my narrative, when that is a specific thing that belongs to that culture and that people, and I could never understand what that means to those
people. I think it's also it's bigger than that. I think that mm-hmm. that it's important that, I mean, there's going to be a difference. It doesn't matter to me. And what I just heard, it's something on show the other day about it's a production that's not called out, but it's a it's two performers, two male performers, and each of them play a white and a black person, and it's okay for the black person to play a white person, but not vice versa.
Oh gosh, what
and,
is
and
it?
And I actually agree with that, because it's yeah. not about only appropriating culture, but it's also people of color and Asians and everything have been so oppressed and so pushed
yeah.
down for a little bit. It's like, shut up, white people, and let other people
yep.
talk. And so I see that. But, and again, I don't know, if the show was trying to shine a light on this fact
right.
by doing it,
yeah.
then, but again, I don't know. But they canceled it.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I hear people, so case in point, there was a production very recently of a show by a black playwright that was directed by a white director. And there mm-hmm. was a lot of hubbub about I don't think that it's fair or right for this white director to be using his artistic vision to tell his story. And sometimes the argument is the thing that you're forced to choose between is is it more important to have the story told versus who's telling it? And I think if the objective is to give these voices and give these narratives a platform, I think that one way that white people can do that is just cede whatever power that you have.
Agreed.
You have a theater, then own a company, then you bring in a black director.
Amen.
Why do you have to be the one to
yep.
direct it? I just think that there are other ways to do it mm-hmm. than instead of using your voice, your body, to tell a
yep.
narrative that maybe isn't inherently mm-hmm. yours.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Anyway,
it's
a huge discussion, and one we need to keep having and keep talking about, and at the same time maintain artistic expression and let it happen.
Yeah.
So I think it's not an easy answer,
yeah.
but I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
And so there you go. On a lighter note,
right.
We'll end this on a lighter note. And review came in today about Momenschance. Has anybody ever seen Momenschance?
No.
Okay. Do you know what it is?
Mm-mm.
So it's they call it a mime troupe. It's out of Sweden. Swiss.
I was like, it came
around in the 70s, and when I was just moved to New York in the 70s, Momenschance was there, and I just remember the commercial that it's people in they're dressed in black and they've got different things, and there was a person made out of toilet paper rolls were their eyes, and they would do the toilet paper rolls like this. It was really cool in the in the commercial. So I just saw this article and it made me think about when I first moved to New York. And so I read it and I looked at it, and there's a four minute video of Momenschance, which will be on Offstage and on offstageonair.com, and you can click on it. And I would suggest that you do, because it's so much fun. There's so much beautiful, beautiful things. Cause this is you've seen the black light
mm-hmm.
kind of performance. It's the same kind of deal where the actors dress completely in black, and they do such incredible things with inanimate objects. Like there's one that's just wearing like a fluorescent colored tube, and mm-hmm. it's all the way, and it's two tubes, and they're passing a ball, and it's going out to the audience, and one of the audience members kicks the ball away off stage. And the little tube, it's just a tube, walks downstage in front and twists down to like stare at the guy that did that. And it was just adorable. And then there was, and I actually have a picture of this, a trash bag that when I saw in the video, it's
like
lips. But you can see what they've done. They've manipulated it now to look like an old
from
grumpy man.
That's awesome.
That's so cool.
So I would encourage you to, if this has piqued your interest at all in Momenschanz, go to offstageonair.com later today after I've posted it, and it'll be right there. It'll be clickable, and you can watch the video.
I had two of my roommates that I lived with in New York were two Swedish girls that were performance artists. Mm-hmm. So every time I came home, they had like they were always making something, and I'm like, Jeanette, I'm like, what are you up to today? Oh, Marie and I are making these tubes. We're gonna pass them out. They'd have these crazy outfits, and they would go out, and I'd come home, and I'd be like, how was it today? No one understood us, but it was wonderful. And I was just this weekend going, my Swedes, the roommates, the Swedes, they rocked. They did performance art. They would practice. I never understood, and I'm pretty good. I never understood a single thing they did, but I could watch them for hours. And they went everywhere in New York and just did it on the street.
I have to say, they make a pretty darn good cheese as well. So the last thing I want to say, I didn't mention this, but in our notes I called it Harry Potter Das Play.
Because of Rocky Das Musical.
Right.
Yes.
It's going to Germany. And I wrote this before I heard the actual name of the play in German, but it is Harry Potter und das Würstchenkind.
That's even better than Das Musical, just FYI.
So anyway, it's being translated into German in 2020, and it's the first different language version of
There was another, I'll send it to you, maybe we can post it online. There was another cool article in the New York Times. Did you read it about the choreographer for Harry Potter?
No. Oh, wait, are you talking about no.
It was that they basically were saying, like, why would you need a choreographer? And they're like, there's no special effects. There's no FX. They used a special, like, wizard choreographer movement kind of coach in the way they created everything. And I was fascinated. Once I read this, I was like, it was almost as cool as the boxing choreography for Rocky Das
Rocky
Musical.
Das Musical.
Because it is in this 360 view. And
all right.
But yeah, I'll have the article.
Awesome.
So good.
Well, great. We've totally run out of time for this section, so we've got to run. Like I said, this is from Carmelina, which, you know, Mama Mia. Anyway, this is called Yankee Doodles Are Coming. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro. We've had such a spirited discussion. I love that.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So you didn't love it as much as I did. Let's jump right to the Heat and Zilker summer musicals. And here to represent all shook up. did you like that?
That was good. Actually.
No.
Heather
Very
Capello.
Good. Oh my gosh.
Hey. Did I do it right?
Yeah.
Okay,
did.
Good. I'm trying to get the right order. Josie Pickett.
Woohoo.
And Michelle Alexander.
Hey.
So this is a kind of a jukebox musical.
Yes.
But it's not your typical because it's got a narrative as well, right? So somebody tell us about this darn show.
Oh, yeah. It's really cute. Like, it's based off of Twelfth Night and a little Midsummer mixed in there as well. It's like a small town mechanic girl in this small little town. And then this guy comes in on his motorcycle and brings music and the
shakes
power
it
of
up.
Music. Yeah. It's a good time.
Yeah.
And shakes it
up.
So the show actually has two names because it should be called one thing. But then after it starts, then it gets shook up.
Yes.
That's
exactly.
True. That's true.
I'm just saying. So this was on Broadway back in 2004. Did you know that?
Yes. I thought it was 2005.
2005. Sorry. That was It was a good speed in 2004 with Jodi Emocha as the choreographer, who is somebody I know.
Ooh,
from
really?
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Nice.
She didn't do the Broadway one, though, so who cares about her? So this is Zilker Summer Musicals, the
60th
anniversary.
Year. I should have known that because it's exactly how old I am. Isn't that scary? Yeah.
So this
is the 60th anniversary. So tell us how much fun is this show? And it's also, this is a little bit of a different move for Zilker in that usually you're doing Shrek the Musical or Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. Or this is not the typical show that we normally see in the summer.
I love this.
Yeah.
Oh, this is for me. This is my first time doing a Zilker musical, but I've grown up in Austin, so I've always gone to see them. And yeah, they've always been like Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, or I saw like Kiss Me Kate out there a long time ago, and like Music Man and shows like that. So this is very different for the Zilker Austin scene, but it's so exciting to be a part of like tradition in Austin.
Is it set in the 50s?
It is. I think that's why it's perfect, because you know, if the theater started in the 50s, it brings back that nostalgia and really hopefully like makes people appreciate how awesome it is that it's been around for 60 years. That's awesome. That's
it's crazy. A wonderful theater. I would just like Zilker Summer Musicals to switch to music to Zilker Fall Musicals.
Amen. Amen.
Wouldn't we all?
So the good news is, because you're not doing one of those, like, I feel sorry for whoever played Shrek last time.
Oh,
this heat, at least the 50s costumes, you're going to...
That's
got
true.
Leather jackets
and breath.
Yeah, we can breathe in these. Yeah. Until the final scene when we get in, you know... I don't want to spoil
it. Right. You just have to come and watch it to find out.
So, Heather, what role do you play?
I play Natalie. She's a mechanic in town.
Tough girl?
Tough girl,
Rock on.
Girl next door, but with some tools.
I was about to say, that's the that's girl perfect. Next door with some tools.
Oh, you know what I forgot to do? We have to take another little tangential break here. This is where we go to our mid-hour legal ID, which we used to get people to choose a number, but now I just randomly hit this button and it chooses a random one. So let's see what we've got here.
Hi, I'm David Lee Strasberg, creative director of the Lee Strasberg Theater and Film Institute, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby, Austin.
Okay, can you do it once more with feeling?
If you want.
Ah, there we go. Lee Strasberg. Or David Strasberg.
I was just about to. You had two of them, so I was like, which one was it?
No, he only did one.
Oh, I thought there was
one. No, he only did one. And I told him to do it again. Because it wasn't good. All right. So, because that's the kind of person
directing
I am.
Me.
Josie, what role do you play?
I play Miss Sandra.
Miss Sandra.
Miss Sandra.
Tell us about
and
her.
She's kind of new to the town, too. She is the museum caretaker, curator.
Oh, okay.
Sophisticated / bombshell.
I like that.
These
she's
are
a,
like
she's a complicated
good
character.
Explanations for these ladies.
We're trying to tease you here, so you can come see what
Michelle,
happens.
You better come. Oh,
I'm thinking. I'm thinking.
And Michelle Alexander, what do you play?
My name. See, look, I'm scared. I play Sylvia in All Shook Up, and Sylvia is the bar owner of like the local town bar. I would say it's a diner because I think we serve food every now and then.
But, Sandra and her have a thing.
It's like the hangout, the town hangout.
Oh, cool.
It's really cool. One thing that's awesome is that my character is a black woman who owns a town. I mean, who owns a bar.
She does own the town, though. She is like, the center
the
50s, of their universe.
I feel like I'm pretty a pretty progressive character in the show. So that's exciting.
Awesome. Well, in the 50s.
Yeah,
you wouldn't necessarily see that.
No, a woman, a black woman.
Where does it take place in any geographical location that we'd be familiar with?
It says a small town in the Midwest.
In the Midwest, yeah. Okay. All right. And the male lead is Andrew Cannata.
Yes.
Who we love Andrew Cannata.
Fantastic.
But I believe Cheyenne Jackson played that role on Broadway.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Well, that's the end of that story. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, Cheyenne.
Say no more.
The songs were all written by one particular artist, were they not?
Yes.
Well, they were all
performed by.
That
by.
Performed. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
And that is
Elvis Presley.
Oh, drum roll. The Elvis.
So y'all are all singing Elvis songs. Do y'all have a favorite number that you're singing?
Oh, man, I love them all.
I know.
We were just talking about this, actually.
We
like,
were our favorites. Michelle's are fantastic.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man.
Beautiful.
How do you
pick
a favorite, Elvis?
The thing is, there were so many that I hadn't heard, and so I went and kind of listened to the originals, and it's like some like the one that I sing, I listened to it, actually, the original this morning, because I like I just didn't want to. I didn't want to, like, I don't know. And so today, I was like, I want to hear it. And, man, it's...
What did you listen
power
to?
Ballad.
There's Always Me.
There's Always Me, okay.
Which is like, I don't think, what I like is that he had so many songs, and we always hear like Jailhouse Rock, Hound Dog, you know, they're in the musical, but a lot of these songs I had never just naturally heard, you know, but my mom was a big Elvis movie fan.
He's a complex individual.
Yeah, what a guy.
And especially with his music, and everybody puts him in this one specific genre, but the journey that he takes is so crazy, and especially because gospel was such an
I was about to say, talking about appropriation, wasn't he guilty of that in a lot of ways?
I didn't want to say it now. I didn't want to say it on the air, but yeah.
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he sure was.
So the music was all performed by the king. Is there any reference to him in the narrative? Does it have anything to do with Elvis Presley?
It's not. We'll pay I wouldn't say it's anything. Yeah, an homage.
There isn't a literal Elvis character, but lots of, you know,
there's
fun
Elvis-y moments. Yes. Like, I think Andrew's character is kind of the Elvis, like, he resembles him.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. With the leather jacket and the tight pants and, you know, the coolness, the blue suede shoes, whole thing. But they don't really say, like, they don't say his name.
It's the magic of Elvis.
Exactly. His spirit lives on in this show, for sure.
Well, it seems like a lot of fun. And how the house has been? Of course, they're always
pretty
super
good.
Crowded.
Awesome.
Although y'all
so
had some rain issues, didn't you?
Sunday. I canceled my first weekend. What day was that?
Sunday
show.
I think we were all very bummed.
We were.
Yeah, because
the music is
fun.
Yeah, the music is so fun. Like, you're excited to sing it. The arrangements are so neat. Yeah. If you're familiar with the song.
Where is the band on stage?
Yeah, they are.
Excellent.
That always makes
such a great
band. They got little costumes.
They're phenomenal.
They're amazing, the band.
And this is Jimmy Moore's, actually, this first time he's directed as artistic director, isn't it?
Right.
Because he's taken the job after last year's show.
Mm-hmm.
So how was it working with Jimmy?
Oh, it's great.
So fun.
He refused to come on this show.
When we
talked about having him come on, he said, Lisa, are you going to be there? And I said, yeah. He said, well, I believe I'm sick that day. Very upsetting.
One thing I love is in preparing for the show was like we all got together, we sang through the show, but we also learned about the history of the time period and the music and the Elvis. Huge impact Elvis had on culture and everything. It was great. I mean, I feel like everybody's on the same page when it comes to the show, and that energy and enthusiasm comes through.
And everybody's really excited. Like, yeah, it's such a fun show.
Do y'all, here's another test. Do you know what show performed for the first Zilker Summer Musical in 1959?
We haven't quizzed in a while. Michelle, do you know?
I don't know if I know. I'm going to throw something out.
Go ahead, throw something out. You're not going to get it.
I probably won't get it. I don't know.
It's called 17.
Oh.
Nope.
17?
According to this piece of paper they gave me.
I was going to say Seven Brides.
For some reason, I thought it was more of a musical, but maybe I'm not reading this right. So, anyway, never mind.
Played off.
There you go.
But bless you.
It could be a musical. So
you don't wait till the sun actually goes all the way down before you start, because that would be very, very late. What time is curtain?
8:15.
It's sort of fun to sit out there in the audience and watch the lighting. They don't suddenly come alive. The whole lighting rig sort of fades in as the lights come down. It's just really rather interesting.
Which is perfect for the show, and that's all I'm going to say.
Like, where it takes place, it is perfect for outdoors.
Well, awesome. Well, we've, of course, run out of time. So where can people go to get information about the show?
Zilker.org.
Yeah. Awesome. And do you know another quiz? When's your closing date? How long do y'all run?
August
18th. Yep.
August 18th. Yep. You were correct.
Thursday through Sunday.
Michelle, I love Michelle. She waited until everybody said what it was, and then she goes, yes.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm here for.
I was about to say, affirmation. That would be good.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the show. Hopefully one or all of you can stick around and join us backstage.
Oh, yeah.
We have a lot of fun there.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
But otherwise, we're going to zip on to the next thing. Is that okay?
Yay, awesome.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
All right.
Why didn't you zip?
We're going to zip. That was Heather Capello, Michelle Alexander, and Josie Pickett with Zilker Theater's production of All Shook Up at Zilker Hillside Theater through August 18th. For more information, zilker.org. And here's probably one of those songs that people may not know, or at least I didn't. I'm the devil in disguise.
Are you?
I am indeed.
But I knew that.
That looks like a lot of fun. I have to admit, I find the heat very difficult to deal with. So getting out to the Zilker Theater is hard for me.
Well, you just have to...
I'm what we call a WIMP.
Here's the great thing about Silver. You can bring your own picnic and stuff to hydrate while you're there.
I bring my wine spritzer and my Fresca.
Oh, ooh la la.
So let's talk about what's going on locally other than Zilker Summer Musicals. I was sort of intrigued by this, The Alabama Story by Kenneth Jones. Presented by Southwest Theater Productions. It's happening over at Trinity Street. It is based on true events. I'll read you the description. In 1959, during the Civil Rights Movement, a famed author and illustrator created a children's book about a black rabbit and a white rabbit getting married. Citizens and a senator demand the state librarian ban the book, believing it to be a secret message encouraging children to marry outside of their race. The librarian refuses, setting off an avalanche of conflict, controversy, and self-reflection. I think that's an interesting show. And
I saw that when I was tooling around, not playing Austin, and I was like, I didn't know about that, and B, that sounds pretty cool.
I didn't either, but I also love that they're, and I may have to do this in our theater, they have special concessions during the show from the 50s, 1950, I guess 1959 seems to be a theme
good,
here. That's when Zilker started, that's when Lisa started, Moon Pies, RC Cola, with peanuts, and Black 40 beer, which I don't know anything about, but that's an Alabama IPA, they say.
I kind of love that.
Water is also available, which I'm not sure, but I believe they had back in 1959.
I believe they might have.
You know, they never put the website on here to get...
but you found it the same place I did.
I found it at nowplayingaustin.com. Do you have anything locally you want to...
I had something and I guess I left it.
Anybody else?
I left it on the printer.
Anything locally other than your own
so
show, which we're about to talk about. Anything? No? Okay. Then we'll just zip right to Today in Theater History.
Could you just give me a little Elaine stretch for a minute, please, and a zip?
I don't think I have an Elaine stretch.
Zip!
Oh. Ah. Uh-huh. Okay. Here it is. Yeah, it went right over my head. I'm guessing Elaine Zip did that. Elaine Stritch did that.
You know the song Zip? We've played it before. We've talked about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've zipped for me before.
All right. This is speaking of cultural appropriation and yellow face. This is the
Lisa has the queen premiere. No, I'm just
kidding. The birthday of Yul Brynner, who started the Kingdom of
really?
For a long time. Mm-hmm. Or as people in the cast are supposed to call him, Mr. Brynner.
What year was that?
1915. He's 10 years older than my father,
Who
died 25 years ago. Anyway, whatever that means. So this is also the anniversary of the death of George Gershwin, half of Ira and George Gershwin, who wrote things like Porgy and Bess. He was 38 years old when he died.
Whoa. That's young. That I never realized he was that young. I mean, I knew he was young, but I thought like late 40s.
Wow.
Okay, so raise your hand if you have a personalized autograph from Laurence Olivier. Oh. Just me? Okay, well. I was able to get that autograph 8 years before his death, which this is the
anniversary
of his death in 1989. And I never got to see him on stage. But I saw his wife...
I did not see him on stage.
Oh, God,
either.
What was her name? I just lost her name. She was in Philomena. I'll come up with it later. And then, just to keep, this is, hold on. Oh, my God. Anyway, never mind. We're going to skip that one. 2006, Bernard Hughes won a Tony for, and this was the opening of Da. Remember Da?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I did. And in 2012, this is in the Geffen Playhouse, and I totally forgot that this existed. There was an adaption of The Exorcist for the stage.
Whoa. Oh, I remember.
Do you remember who was in it?
It was
Brooke Shields.
I was like,
exactly.
It was one Brooke Shields. Yes. And, that's why I was like, oh, I remember this.
And do you remember who played the priest?
God, you're stumping
Joan
me.
Joan Plowright is who I was thinking of as Olivier's wife. She did not play the priest.
No,
I
was about to say she did not play
the
priest.
But Richard Chamberlain did.
Thank you. Thornbirds, Richard Chamberlain. Oh, that the priest from Thornbirds? Yeah, that one. Shogun.
I have the box. Are you done? Shogun.
Tell me when you're done. You're done. 2 years ago in 2016, this was the opening of Oslo, directed by Bartlett Schur.
Was it really already uh-huh. 2 years ago?
2 years ago. Was that amazing? Birthdays. Oh, and I meant to look this up because I don't know who this is. I'm guessing this is an ancestor of Drew Barrymore, Georgina Drew Barrymore.
Oh.
Uh-huh. 1856. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, this is the birthday of Tab Hunter, who just passed away 2 days ago.
I was like, he just passed.
Yeah. So his birth date and death date are within 2 days of each other. Wow. David Ives in 1950. And Kim Crosby, 1960. I'm assuming she's Bing's daughter, because it would be it. Locally, Asaf Ronan's birthday is tomorrow.
Hello.
And Miss Ginger Morris is on Yay! Friday. Happy birthday to Ginger. All right, we're going to take another little break, and we're going to come back and talk to Todd G. What am I going to play? Oh, this is George Gershwin. Not only is it George Gershwin's song, but it's George Gershwin playing. And the name of the song is... When you want them, you can't get them. When you've got them, you don't want them. We are back. It is Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
We've been talking to lots of wonderful people. Now we're going to switch, and we're going to talk to one incredible person. So we had like three okay people, and now
no,
we got to...
Okay. You just started.
I was teasing. Anyway, the name of the show.
Lisa, were you a troublemaker growing up?
I'm a troublemaker now. The name of the show is A, What the Black Girl Found While Searching for God. It is written and performed by Taji Senior, directed by Matrix Kilgore, and produced by Taji, Matrix, and Ground Floor Theater.
Yeah.
So, This is your baby.
Yeah.
You performed this in New York recently.
Uh-huh.
And now you're bringing it to us.
Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Yeah. So basically, Adrian Dawes, who is a playwright here and who's now in Oklahoma doing an artist fellowship, she and I have been, I was a part of her cast for Doper Than Dope. And she was like, so yeah, when you write your solo show. And I was like, mm-hmm. with no intention of writing a solo show. And she kept saying it. She even gave me an anthology.
Jedi mind tricked
you. She
did.
Well, what happened was she had said this in like September of 2016. And then in December of 2016, SBT was like, hey, Adrian said you're writing a solo show. we have some money if you want to develop it. And I was like, well, I guess I'm writing a solo show then. But around that same time, I had already been kind of thinking about this idea about the Constitution and the ways in which it shapes our identities. Mm. And I just think I'm fascinated by the Constitution because to me, that's where this country gets so much of its moral compass.
Yeah.
And this
Or so they say.
No, I think it does. I think it does. And this is a document that, like, legally sanctioned the trade of human cargo.
Correct.
Right? Like if you take out if people want debate about the three-fifths clause all the time, even if that wasn't in there, the U.S. Constitution says that the government would not federally regulate slave trade from 1788 to 1808.
But I'm not a constitutional scholar, but wasn't that a compromise?
It was a compromise. Yeah.
It included the three-fifths.
Yeah. And so I think about like, so if that's the basis, if that's the fabric for this country, how can, and if the document upon which we get our moral compass does not recognize the totality of my humanity, how could I expect for that to reverberate in the time in which we live today? And so I wrote that piece with that in mind, and that piece was called Amendment, and I liked it okay, but it wasn't enough of a narrative for me, and it felt a lot like just different. It felt like a collection of monologues of Black people airing out their grievances about being Black in America, which I think is important, which is not what I wanted to do, though.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I took a step back from the work and, again, had no intention of ever touching it because I was like, okay, I did the thing. And then somebody was like, hey, do you want to bring this to New York? And I was like, yeah. But then, around the same time, I stumbled across the George Bernard Shaw short story, The Adventures of the Black Girl in Her Search for God.
Mm-hmm.
And that short story, I think, was published in 1932. And that character,
goes out into the jungle to find God and runs into these different incarnations and has all of these questions. Like, I think one of my favorite quotes from the book is, or from the short story is, like, she's talking to a conjurer and she's like, I'm searching for God. Where is he? And the conjurer's like, within me and within you too. And she's like, I think so, but what is he? And the conjurer says, our father. And she says, but why not our mother?
Oh, rock on.
And I appreciate, like, just the, as someone who was raised, like, as a Southern Baptist, I appreciate the challenging and the questioning of religion and of God without it being a complete and utter takedown. Because people act like, you know, science and religion and those things can't, like, they have to completely negate each other. So I don't know. All of that to say that that is how this piece came to be.
That is great. I mean, that's one of the things that I think is really important as we discuss all the things that are difficult for us to discuss, is to be able to push back and for people that are being pushed back on to try to, like, think in different, it be as if you're going in one direction and you get slightly jammed into a different direction, you can see something else. So that I think that's an awesome thing. And I have not read that short story, and now I must.
Yeah, I will find it online and send it to you.
Awesome. So what is the? And we were talking right before we went on the air. This is being done at Ground Floor Theater, which is my theater. But I have not seen any rehearsals or anything. So I am a blank slate. I really know nothing. So my question is, and I know whenever I'm writing, I keep forgetting the lengthier title that is parenthetical. Uh-huh. But what's the significance of A?
So it's a couple of things. So I read a book called And You Too Can Have a Body Like Mine, and I didn't necessarily like the book, but what I did like is that the characters were named A, B, and C. And I don't know, that just, like, to me, just like a simple, so the main character's name is A in my piece, and I just think it's just, like, an easy thing to, like, project onto. And my hope is that people can see this character that I tried to be really specific about, but still be able to see themselves and just project whatever they want onto it.
Uh-huh.
Also, if you see the show, there's, like, it's revealed at the end what A means, but also I think it means, like, alpha or beginning or just, and I think this piece is very much about a person's beginning.
Oh, great. Well, now I really want to see it.
It's funny because I kept wondering the A. You asked that question. I was like, "Oh, you were in my head again today."
Every now and then it happens.
Been in there a lot today.
And so this is a reworking of Amendment.
Sure. Yeah.
And so ostensibly, this is your first piece.
Yeah.
Solo piece.
Yeah.
Have you written other stuff?
So I wrote for when we did Doper Than Dope, which was a sketch comedy show, which Adrian Dawes's company, Heckle Her, produced.
Right.
I wrote for that. My undergraduate degree is in journalism, so I've always been, like, a news writer. But as far as full-length pieces, no. I've written some really lengthy, subliminal Instagram posts about boys. But other than that, not a whole lot.
So in your experience now, so you've performed it once at SVT?
So we did a developmental reading of Amendment with SVT, and then I actually
and then you
took
went to
it,
New York,
and then I went to Oklahoma. I went to Tulsa.
That was my next guest.
Yeah, I went to Tulsa and took it there. Adrian curated a reading of my work and Jesus Valles' work, Undocument, and then we took it to New York. Yeah,
that's great. And then and now you come here. Who wants to come see this other than everybody? For the radio,
everyone.
I do need to say that everybody here in the studio raised their hand. and the good news is 40 seconds later, because that's with the delay, outside the studio, you'll see people raise their hands.
I think anybody who has ever wondered, who am I and what am I doing here, and who's ever maybe felt a little bit lost, I think that's who wants to come see this.
Let me see if I'm doing my calculations right. Let me think about this. I'm saying it's gonna be roughly 100% of the people.
Yeah.
Awesome. Can I bring my kid?
I probably wouldn't.
Okay.
If your kid is younger than 16, I would say no. And let me know, unless there are some conversations that you're willing to have with that kid. But there's talk about, this is a young person discovering themselves, so they're talking about sex, right, where, you know, there's some tough stuff in it.
Well, that's awesome. Do you have you enjoyed the process? I mean, this seems like a silly question, but are you enjoying the process, or is it work for you?
It's work, but I believe in work, so it's been good. When we took it to New York, I was not anticipating producing it myself, but like a month before we left, we had to let go of our producer. So I ended up producing it myself, and that was really hard and challenging. But mounting it here in Austin, that hasn't been the case. And I love GFT and I love that space. And this is, you know, the last thing I'm going to do here before I leave for school. So it has been a blessing.
Okay. Well, are you sticking around for backstage?
I don't know. I think I might have to go back to work.
Okay, well then in that case, I did not know you were leaving. Where are you going to school?
UCLA.
Oh, going over to the other coast.
That makes you sad faces.
Well, that is making me sad. So where can folks go to get information about the show?
Groundfloortheater.org.
Awesome.
Believe it or not.
And you were playing just this weekend, right?
Just this weekend.
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. Awesome. So I know I'm looking forward to seeing it. I know I will. And I think it sounds like a lot of fun. And I love you. I mean, I love everybody's energy. Your energy. You've got this positive about you. And I think there's a lot. We were saying before we went on the air, there's no men in here. So it's...
That's probably...
Of course it's going to be a positive.
That's probably has to do with
it. Well, awesome. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank y'all for having me.
Yeah.
Okay, and we'll miss you when you're gone, so don't leave.
Thank you.
All right, that was Taji Senor with the production of What the Black Girl Found While Searching for God at Ground Floor Theater. This weekend only, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. For more information, groundfloortheater.org. And we were talking about this before we went on, and this is Dear God from The Color Purple, which we just love.
Yes, perfect.
Dear God, I love this woman.
Okay, we are back. That is the incomparable Cynthia Erivo from the 2016 production of A Color Purple, with the one I have not seen yet, but it's coming here this season, isn't it, Nicole?
I believe, talking to you. Yeah, okay. I believe so. I was in there. That music.
All right. I know. It's beautiful. Well, we did it. It was nice to have you back.
Another one.
Another one down. Another one bites the dust. So remember, to hear Backstage, you need to go to offstageonair.com. You can download our show. You'll be able to hear all the secrets of our guests talking about themselves personally. You can also get us on the iTunes.
Yes.
The Stitcher,
but you know, if you're lazy and you just want it to come and appear, just enter your email on offstageonair.com and we appear each week in your mailbox. There's the show.
All right, so we got a roll. Another obscure song. This is called When My Baby Goes to Town from Something from the Boys, and I don't have any information about it, so just enjoy the music.
I'm playing a local belle. She's strictly 1A. Her figure is something swell. Why she keeps it that way?
Well, the curtain has just come down on Yawn, the musical. The story that didn't hold much interest ran for -6 performances on Broadway in 1938. But we're doing it here. And we've just finished. The curtain has come down. We've gone outside the backstage door. Mm-hmm. We're standing here in puddles of unnamed liquid outside by the dumpsters. And I'm happy that you guys...
It's kind of warm, too. I don't know why.
It's so... Ew. Okay. And oddly enough, you guys are sitting in the order that I have you in my book. This is great.
Heather Capello. They did that just for you.
Michelle Alexander.
Hey.
And Josie Pickett.
Hello.
And screaming there in the background, we have Ellen Greenham.
So loud.
And you got to say loud because you're not near a microphone.
Hi.
And Jim Hampton.
Hello.
Awesome.
All right.
Those were the two people that we were talking about earlier on the show.
Dun, dun, dun.
So before we get started with Backstage at Onstage, I'm going to one of the ideas I've been tossing around for my show, and I want to get your opinion on it. We'll do it right here on the air, and so if you hate it, feel free to say so.
Awesome.
Considering switching Offstage and On the Air and pre-recording it as a live event at Ground Floor Theater, what do y'all think?
I love that idea.
Get people here. We can do performances on stage.
Yes.
That's brilliant. Edit it down and show it here. All right. Good. It's done. it'll be on Monday nights.
Ooh.
That's really fun.
Can people come like,
Can we have an audience?
Be in the audience.
I love
that.
That's the whole idea. Yes. So I'd love to find an idea where we start getting...
It's like tiny desk concerts.
Kind of, just like
except
that.
Except like musical theater style.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right. So this is where we learn a little bit about none of you. Michelle, have you been on backstage before?
I've never done this.
I haven't.
No, you know what? You really have to get out of here every time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
all
true.
All right. So we're going to learn a little bit about. We'll start with you, Michelle, because you're the one we were picking on. So where'd you come from?
I came from here, actually. I'm a unicorn.
Here in the studio?
Yes. I was born in KOP. I'm just kidding.
I'm
from Round Rock, actually.
Round Rock. Oh, yeah. Right. Vazemere.
So, you know.
Okay. All right. So that's kind of Austin.
Kind of.
Did you go to Round Rock High?
I did. I was the mascot there.
For two years.
What was Rocky the Dragon?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I did it as a joke. And then no one else came to the audition.
Was that fun to do?
It actually was very fun. I did it as a prank, and then I ended up the only one there. So then I did it for 2 years.
So now you're doing that but it's not in the heat of the summer because it's during the school year, right?
Right, but it was in the heat of the summer.
Football season.
They're
starting to practice here now.
The first week of school.
Lord, I was like, what was I thinking? Walking around the track with the band, everyone's like, bam. It was very
how did they do that again? Round Rock High, did you do theater?
I did do theater. Do you know Joanna Whitmore?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was my theater teacher.
Get out.
And she still works there, which is awesome. Yeah. She's amazing. So.
And you're a theater teacher now.
I am.
At Brentwood
Christian School.
Christian School, yeah. I believe that every year I see your musical.
Oh, do you?
Well,
Bless you, Lord.
I can't tell you why, but it's got,
yes.
You know, but
amen.
It You've rhymes been doing
with,
that for a while
It rhymes
now,
with Hatsmata.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's got to be very. So you're a school teacher.
I am. I'm going into my fourth year, actually.
What do you love about that?
What do I love? I think the final result, like the process is so stressful, but to see your show come to life, theater is really magical because mm-hmm. I don't know how it happens every time. And kids work very well under pressure. They like to wait to the last minute to do everything. And so that's what gives me anxiety, but I like
you are totally herding cats and
yo,
that
herding
situation.
Cats, Lord, yes.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. usually, so you're, if I'm, and I'm, I see so many of these high school shows, but you're one of the ones that has like really huge casts, don't you?
Huge cast. Yeah, we use pretty much.
Because if they audition, they get in, right?
That is one of them schools. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord. And that's good and bad.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to
err
on the side of
next year.
Good for the humanity of the children and maybe not so good for the production.
Amen. Yes, yes.
That's
I would have to
well
agree.
Said.
Yeah, very well said. Better than me.
So,
for the humanity of the children.
What was the. What was that spark that got you into theater in Round Rock, Texas?
Well, I think, honestly, I worked, it was in middle school, and during lunch, we had a teacher who's no longer with us, but he had us do, like, lip syncs during lunchtime, and I don't know what we were thinking, but we did, like, a Temptations Diana Ross song, me and this one girl, this little white girl. I was Eddie Kendricks, and she was Diana. And so it was, like, awesome, and the crowd went wild, and I was like, I think I love this. And so then I did the talent show, you know, and I was like, I was the opening act, and I was like, I think I'm made for this, you know? And then I went to high school, and I auditioned for Grease, and I didn't get in, and I was like, forget this. I hate theater. I'm done. And then I went back, like 2 years after that, and they were doing Cinderella, and I had just seen the Brandy movie, and I was like, I'm in this. I'm about to be Whitney Houston. And I was. I was the fairy godmother, and that was ever since then been doing theater. So
we've been talking about, we talk about on the show a lot the different generational Cinderellas.
Yes.
My Cinderella was Leslie Ann Warren.
Oh, wow. There are so many Cinderellas, too. Yeah.
Well, there's really only three.
Oh, well, Julie. Hey.
Julie Andrews, Leslie Ann Warren, and Brandy.
And Brandy. Yeah. Ooh.
But Brandy, that production, again, I say it every, people are sick of hearing me say it. I just thought that was just such a wonderful show that said, because you had a black woman and a old white guy that give birth to an Asian boy who falls in love with a black girl and everything's okay, and they never it's never mentioned.
Never mentioned.
Awesome.
That was beautiful.
It's just a story.
Yes.
Yeah. So I thought that was great. So and were you always a singer?
I mean, I grew up singing in church, and I think that's what's helped me, you know, go this far, because I can't read music at all. I mean, I can, but I'm like, it's like another language, so I'm very slow. But I grew up in the church, and so we had to learn, you know, how to harmonize, and that's, you know, you fake it till you make it, baby. Here I am.
Are you? Do you still sing in the church ever? Because that music is so beautiful.
I mean, I sing it on the radio. I ain't been to church in a minute. Sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. I'm working on it.
It's okay. She forgives you. The studio.
But, you know, yeah, I love gospel music. I mean, yeah.
It's beautiful. Now, were you in, Zach Production 4 or 5 years ago.
Gospel of Colonus?
Yeah.
Yes, I was. I was. I was singer Antigone. So yeah. I sang the song that wasn't in the original that Bob Tolson wrote later.
Yeah.
And I got to sing that. And he actually came to that show. So that was so cool to do that for him.
Beautiful
piece.
That's
way cool.
Yes. It was super cool.
Actually, another little story about me, because that's what I care about. I was for a short time a Broadway World reviewer.
Yes.
And I tend to be hypercritical. And my first assignment was that show. And I was very scared because I'm not a big fan of a lot of stuff that happens over there at the Zac.
Okay.
But I had already, when I did it, I said, you know what? I can't be a critic because I can't slam someone's show and then have them come onto my radio show. Just can't do it. So I decided that was going to be my one and only time. But I really enjoyed it, and I gave you all a very good review.
Yes.
Don't know if I mentioned you by name, but
I didn't say anything until I said no, and then I sang one song. So I was acting with face and body, baby. You know, I was giving them life that
way. Awesome. So, Heather, what about you? What's your story?
My story? Oh, my goodness. I grew up in Beaumont, Texas.
Beaumont. East Texas.
That's right.
East
Texas girl. I ran away after high school. I went to Texas State. And then I ran off to New York and to Florida and to Montana and decided I like my family. I like Texas.
So I get New York. I'm not sure I understand Montana. Yeah. Were you in Orlando?
Yeah.
Okay, I can kind of see Orlando. Yeah. What was in Montana?
You're supposed to be
Montana.
Orlando.
I
worked at a theater outside of Yellowstone for a couple of years.
Wow. Cool.
It was like amazing because I would bounce between New York and there, and it's like a total contrast.
Yeah.
So it was like perfect.
So where did you get your love of theater?
Oh my goodness. I kind of grew up in it. My mom was like a diehard community theater person.
In Beaumont, Texas.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that.
Okay.
So yeah, it was just always a lot of fun. Like, I was a shy little girl, so I got to go up there and like sing and emote and like.
Yes.
Do you remember your first show?
Lil Abner.
So in other words, it's not Little Abner, kids. Lil Abner. So you're Little Abner, which I've never seen Little Abner.
At
the community
theater. We all like, what's it? Is that the piggy one?
Oh my God.
Was that done at the community theater?
It was, yeah.
What was the name of the theater?
Port Arthur Little Theater.
Port Arthur.
Oh.
PALT,
we like to call it.
Pult.
Oh.
So, but did you then go to school? Did you go to Texas State for theater?
I did, yeah.
And so you were in Texas State how long ago?
Oh my goodness, I graduated in 2007.
Okay.
So it was a little ways back.
So you've missed it because it's now transformed into one of the premier musical theater schools in the country, which is amazing.
Yeah. Yes.
Probably all because of you.
I'm sure.
Oh, heaven.
That's a good way to put it.
Well, I'm sure of it. And so was your next stop New York?
It was.
How was that for you?
It was fun. Like, I think I just got caught up in being like a young person there and living the lifestyle and like waiting the tables. And it was just a lot of fun.
Were you in the boroughs or were you in Manhattan?
I started in Manhattan, but like at the tippy top in Washington Heights.
Where in Washington Heights?
Oh my goodness. That's where I lived. Where was it? I don't remember. It was so long ago.
It's longer ago for me.
It was
me,
like a block away from McDonald's. Does that.
Oh, I am 168th Street?
Yeah, that around McDonald's? There, yeah.
Well, there wasn't when I lived there, there was not a McDonald's.
Really?
There was no fast food at all because it was...
There's not a lot.
It was a little scary. But I lived at 162nd and Riverside 11 years.
Yes,
Riverside.
Girl.
Nice.
Yeah. So you lived up in then where, Brooklyn?
I went to Bushwick.
Bushwick.
So that was fun. It was right before it was like, yeah, but that was fun. And then my favorite, I lived in Sunnyside in Queens.
Oh, okay.
And it was so like beautiful. Mm-hmm. There's like tree lined streets, but you could still see the Empire State Building. And I loved
Michelle,
it
did you live in New York?
I did. I did in New York.
You're
state.
Making those sounds
I did a rant. I mean, I kind of went there for a visit. And then at the end of the trip, I was like, hey, Mom and Dad, I'm not coming home. I had no money. It was like the typical like runaway to New York story.
That's awesome.
It was super fun, though.
Yeah, I know. I was there in the late 70s and 80s and into the 90s, and I was poor. And it's back then, it was a great place to be poor.
Yes.
It was a great place to be poor.
It wasn't
not
when
so
I
much
was
now.
No.
You couldn't house yourself, but I lived in a... you know, I paid $240 a month for my apartment.
Oh, my goodness. Girl, ooh, that's the life.
That's a lot of money.
That's awesome.
That's funny.
And Josie, did you spend any time in New York?
You know what? I went up there for the Paul Taylor School. I did some training there, but I never lived there. I'm a dancer.
Okay.
Yeah, so I hung
out
with some
friends. But
Paul
Taylor School wasn't there in the Dance Belt, was it?
No.
No,
it's down in the Lower East Side.
Like East Side, yeah. Lower, yeah.
But it was awesome, and it was long enough to stay there to wish that I could be there. It was just beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Did you live down the Lower East?
No, I was with friends on the Upper West Side in the Heights.
Like 183rd
Amsterdam.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's just
a
magical
place.
You have to go.
It wasn't when I lived there.
Well, yeah.
Actually, I'll tell that story later. New York,
Montana,
everywhere, and you're back here. What brought you back here?
I think, like, when you get older, you just start to feel, like, drawn towards your family again.
Okay.
And I've always loved
your
Central
family
Texas.
In Beaumont is
not
is
anymore.
Not Austin.
Well, it's true. But my parents are here in Canyon Lake now.
Okay.
So.
All right.
And I feel like Austin's this great, like, mix. I still get all the culture and urban and all of that. But you can also, I have the Montana, too. I can go hiking or go to the lake. And it's just kind of perfect. And then I have my family.
Montana's
my family.
They're just far enough away, you know?
And Josie, what about you? Where are you from?
I am coming from West Texas. So we're representing,
I'm
from El Paso.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm visiting.
I call it El Paso.
El Paso. Aw, poor El Paso.
I've never spent any time other than driving through.
That's what everyone says.
I cannot.
You should stop one time.
I've heard wonderful things about it, actually. Yeah. But so did you spend your summers on South Padre?
No.
Thinking of...
I was like, that's totally
it's closer,
opposite direction.
Never mind.
It's closer to Mexico.
Arizona
area. That's why everyone forgets that we're part of Texas.
Well, it is. It's interesting. So moving a friend of mine from L.A. to New York, and I said, and I grew up in Houston. I said, I'll do it if we have to stop by in Houston and pick up my piano. So driving from L.A. to Houston to New York... One third of our trip is in the state of Texas.
Yep. Yes, I believe that.
Sure enough.
Yes.
I think it's 14 hours from tip to tip. Mm-hmm. Yep. You're driving at without stopping at a very
what a
fast
big
pace.
State. Yeah.
So what got you out of El Paso? Or did you do theater in El Paso?
So I'm still living in El Paso, but I'm here for the summer visiting.
Lovely.
I know.
That's
so
cool.
El Paso. I know. Yeah, I have family that lives here and always come back and forth. My dad's a state representative, so we started coming to
Is
Austin.
Is he a good one or a bad one?
He's an amazing one.
Good question.
We won't
question.
Get into politics here.
Does he have your same last name?
Yes. Okay. So look him up,
we're about
everyone.
To Google him.
Yeah. Google him.
We know who to talk to.
Right?
Tell him. 2019
support the arts.
Coming in.
We need some.
Support the arts. Support
He's
the people.
He's a Democrat.
Support the arts. Yes. All caps.
He's a Dem. Okay, good. I like him already.
All right. So, that's why I threw it out there because I didn't want to,
Hey.
Well, I do know. I know some children of representatives that are on the other side.
Yeah.
And these people are, perfectly wonderful people that have terrible views, in my opinion.
Right.
It's
but tough.
I did talk to a child who's the child of a very conservative legislator, and they have
so
very opposing views.
Yeah.
But this is what makes horse races.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So
true.
You grew
it's
up
true.
In a political family, then.
Kind of.
Do you have politics?
Well, actually,
does any of that ring true for you?
England,
are you interested in it?
Not really. I mean, I try to be active in my community because El Paso's right there on the border with Juarez. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you all heard about it. Like recently, there was the big march in Tornillo, which is just outside of El Paso. Beto was out there.
Beto.
I was going to say that. Beto.
We don't have the same rules here in backstage.
Okay.
You guys go vote. Vote for Beto.
Okay, I was scared to say
people.
Stuff. Okay.
We need.
I like how I turned it political.
Yeah, right.
Well, it's so important right now,
it
especially
is.
And if just, somehow we can delay the vote on the new Supreme Court nominee till after November, we might have some hope.
Yeah, let your voice be heard.
I was literally thinking about this while working out.
But this is why voting is so important.
It is.
I love that you just mimicked working out in your chair.
Oh yeah,
as
yeah.
you said,
I did. That was a jog arms.
So actually,
keyword jog.
This is
sure.
and it's so totally not theater related, but
this is great.
Living in El Paso, uh-huh. At the at the border, mm-hmm. where we have all the crap about the wall, mm-hmm. And everybody mm-hmm. I know that lives on the border is saying that's a bad idea because mm-hmm. there's a symbiotic relationship between mm-hmm. both sides and everybody's mm-hmm. family mm-hmm. over there, yeah. and the wall does nothing but mm-hmm. create a divide. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the whole bull dookie with what's going on now with children. So mm-hmm. how is that coming from a political family mm-hmm. and a Democratic family, mm-hmm. Latino family?
Mixed, yeah.
Mixed, okay.
Yeah.
How is that for you?
I think that it's... Oh my gosh, we need to make our voices heard as artists, as politicians, and so I'm really proud of the El Paso arts community, just to kind of turn it out of the political into the arts,
yep.
because a lot of people are making statements on the border and trying to really show what it's like to live there. It is fluid. It is not two separate nations. So many people have family that live in Mexico. There's so many people that commute back and forth. There's
a lot directions.
In both directions. Mm-hmm. There's commerce and family
yep.
and art. And if we could really grow together as twin cities, it would just be amazing to see what could come out
Shockingly,
of it.
Shockingly, it works on the border at Canada.
Hmm. right?
So I think you can use Canadian dollars in mm-hmm. all these states, from New York to the tip all the way down to the bottom and vice versa, and wow. symbiotic in and out.
Yeah. I mean, there's just so much to share. So many beautiful things there.
So mm-hmm. you're here doing this show. Mm-hmm. You do theater in El Paso?
I do. So I do mostly at the UTEP Dinner Theater, uh-huh. which is neat. It's one of the only dinner theaters at a university.
So uh-huh.
Yeah. And in the nation, like there, I don't know if there are any others at universities.
I cannot
think universities.
Of any. Houston used yeah. to have two.
We had one in my college, but yeah.
there
in
was
Abilene.
One in outside of Syracuse.
Yeah, I mean, they used to be
around.
All over the place.
Mm-hmm. This past year just celebrated their 35th anniversary.
Wow.
So really proud of them there. And I work as a choreographer there and perform there. So it's
awesome.
Really fun. Yeah.
Well, that's great. We'll have to do some sort of theater exchange somehow.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
Well, great. Well, I'm so happy we're at it. We've jabbered along a lot. I'm so happy to have had you guys back here amongst the dumpsters and the rats.
Oh, yes, in the water.
It's cool.
Warm
now.
Water.
It's cool.
Oh, it's cool now?
It's cool now.
Oh, my bad.
It changes.
My, yeah. My
well, good. Well, thank you guys. I think this is a fun backstage.
Yes.
And
so fun.
We'll see you next time we're here. Woo-hoo. Also, here's an interesting experiment. Between the three of you, mm-hmm. can you very quickly decide if you were going to do a musical, what musical that would be?
Oh.
What? Together,
you
all
got
of us?
Yeah.
together. Like
you got to decide.
We're all in the show together.
Mm. Sure.
Oh.
You don't have to be in this. Whatever.
What? I would love to be in Waitress, man.
Okay. Waitress. Oh. Yes. Yeah.
Wait,
okay.
Let's
okay.
all do that.
Oh, wait.
That's a
wait,
great
wait,
musical.
Wait. 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 Do you hear it?
Coming.
Yeah, this music from Waitress. Right now.
Make that coffee strong enough.
That's amazing.
What a good
makes me hungry
yes.
for some pies.
Yes,
yes some pies, baby.
All right, well, it's coming here to Austin.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you guys.
Thank you for having us.